right. We'll get back. It has recorded. The only thing I can't confirm absolutely is actually listening to it, because I can't get the speaker to work, but it shows it's recording. I've looked back on the rest of the record where we know it was working, and it's showing recording in the same way. So I just can't hear it right now. Apologize for the interruption, Mr. Schneider, if you'll please proceed.
Thank you. So, and Mr. Shook, I honestly don't remember exactly where we were. But
I don't either.
So, my questions have been about how I, as a hypothetical owner of property on Schilchel, what I'm to understand from reading your report. And so why don't we focus in a little bit. Let me just walk you through the headings and subheadings to get to what I assume is the pertinent section, and you correct me if I'm wrong. So if we start in Chapter 4 of your report, that's called Potential, I'm on page 4-1. And I'm just going to flip some pages here, but I want you to flip with me. So potential impact, so Chapter 4, is that the relevant chapter?
Yes.
Okay, and then 4-2. Right, we're in the
okay.
We're in the final report.
Let me try and look at the right one. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So potential impacts, Chapter 4, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If you go down the page, operational impacts, section 4.2.2, correct?
Yes.
And then if we turn over to, and then what you do is you address the impacts by under land use, mm-hmm. which is the heading on the next page, then you address the impacts by property type, correct? Single-family properties, multifamily, commercial, mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we get to industrial and warehouse properties at the bottom of page 4-6.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's approximately half a page before we get to institutional properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this the takeaway? That I, as an industrial business, in terms of the impacts of this trail on my business, is this where I turn to learn them?
There we have discussion in the analysis in the hedonic section as part of the very specific analysis.
And we'll turn to that.
And that's in the appendix. You have discussion in all the alternatives related to elements that may be interest to industrial properties. And you have some discussion in Chapter 5 as well.
In what?
Chapter 5 as well.
Okay, well, why don't we discuss this? And
sure.
And I also want to ask you about the hedonic, and then if there's anything else that you think I, as a property owner, want to know, you direct me to it, okay? So turning to page 4-6, industrial and warehouse properties.
Mm-hmm.
Your first paragraph is discussing your hedonic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so why don't we just turn to what you referred to, Table C4, Appendix C,
mm-hmm.
which is on page C7, correct? So what do we learn on page C7 about how you did the hedonic analysis for the industrial property?
You learn that of the item of interest in the proximity to the trail, that there's no statistical significance of the proximity and adjacency of the trail to industrial properties.
Well, before we get to that, I want you to explain how you did this analysis. What are the industrial properties that you're looking at, and how did you look at them? So can you just walk us through this in layperson's terms?
So the sample size?
Yes.
Specifically? Yeah, so our analysis used the King County Assessor's data, so it's all properties within King County. We looked at properties that were within a mile of a multi-use trail. So the existing Burke-Gilman Trail, I believe, I think part of the Duwamish River Trail, and I can't remember the other ones, but those that had sort of multi-use pedestrian bike allowances on them as our sample size, and that's roughly 539 industrial properties.
Okay, but so you identified industrial properties near trails,
mm-hmm.
and then is the analysis run on the properties that join the trail or on industrial properties that are within a mile of the trail?
The sample size is within a mile, and then our variable is a proximity variable where you measure how close the property is to that trail in feet.
And so looking at industrial properties within a mile of a trail with a variable, you conclude what?
Our analysis shows that there's no statistical significance of the association of a multi-use trail to property values.
Okay. And the other trails that you used, do you know anything about the nature of the industrial properties or the frequency of the trail crossings or any of that information?
No. It is not information that is contained within the data set for us to run the analysis.
Okay. So the hedonic analysis basically doesn't tell me anything. There's no statistical significance?
So you said it doesn't tell you anything? It tells you the results of this analysis that the economics profession agrees is the right way to look at property value impacts by regressing against the variables that you're interested in. It tells you that.
Well, but let's...
The finding that you bring up is the finding that there's no statistically significant association between proximity to the value of those properties.
Or properties within a mile of a trail.
Yes.
Okay.
That's our sample size.
So again, there's no specific analysis about no comparison of specific properties in specific conditions. The statistical analysis is of properties within a mile of a trail.
I don't understand. What do you mean? The first part? No.
The first part is you didn't go and look at the properties and see how they were or were not affected by the proximity of the trail, correct?
What do you mean by what data would you think we would collect about that? Sorry, I'm just trying to understand what kind of information you think I should have been, been looking at.
You didn't make any distinguishing analysis based on whether it's a manufacturing plant or a warehouse or whether it's within, whether there is an industrial driveway with hundreds of trucks or a passenger driveway with passenger cars. You didn't make any analysis that is in any way property specific.
That's not correct.
Okay, then correct me how I'm wrong.
You look at the list of variables here. You collect how big the size is. The number of buildings that are associated, the relative quality of those buildings, whether or not those uses are classified as heavy industrial, flex industrial, or storage, or other uses, how intensely they use it, how old the property is, whether or not it has waterfront frontage. We also want to care about the relative amenity value, like is it close to a trail, is it an approximate piece, is it close to Puget Sound, is it to a lake, what's its rough accessibility to major roadways, how close it is to major population and markets through downtown Seattle or downtown Bellevue. And we want to control for the fixed effects of fluctuations within the broader economy.
Okay, so
that is the variables that are available to us that are appropriate to use and contained in the King County data set.
So the variables that you use are the ones that are on pages C7 and C8, correct?
Those are the ones in the final model, yes.
Okay. So, in terms of the nature of the business, you distinguish between heavy industrial and flex industrial and storage, and then everything else is an other use?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's an economic analysis. I think we would all agree. There are numbers. It's quantitative. What else?
I don't know if those would be the actual conditions I would use to describe an economic analysis.
Well, I'm just, a layperson. I don't know much about the dismal science. So in terms of other quantified information, what else is in your final report that I, as a business owner, can look to see quantified information?
We quantify delay, and we quantify parking reduction.
Well, you didn't quantify those. You took those from the Transportation Discipline Report, right?
Are they not in the report?
I'm asking you what you did to increase the information available to the readers of this document.
Those are transportation impacts. We're trying to reframe that in the economic context that here is important for both decision makers, for folks who are concerned about the project, and for business owners to say, this is how you want to think about the impacts.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's the relevant information from other experts that, as best we can, under what I understand is required under SEPA, and disclose it in our economic considerations for analysis.
Mr. Shook, you've identified your hedonic model. You've identified two pieces of information you took from the Transportation Discipline Report. Mm-hmm. My question is, what other quantified information did you, as an economist, contribute to this report?
I'm going to object, asked, and answered.
No, it hasn't been answered. What other information did you contribute?
Let the examiner rule.
The difficulty I'm having is whether it's been asked and answered. Is the gentleman have moved into a bit of a conversational tone with statements being made by Mr. Schneider as opposed to questions and the witness asking questions. So I'll allow the question as a form of summary for a bit of a conversation.
Yeah, the other economic information is contained in the existing analysis that shows trends around employment, land use, assessed valuation, changes in commercial real estate prices and vacancy. Those are all examples of other quantitative information that document
what
we understand to be the conditions in the area.
So point to a specific place where that quantification that you just referred to is found.
Beginning on page 3-3, section 3.2. Document the amount of land.
And just to confirm, you're in A17, is that right? The final report, A17?
A17, yes.
Yes, 3-3?
Mm-hmm. So we give people a sense of sort of the rough distribution on page 3.5 of how land is allocated by different use, as reported by, and then we have on 3.4, we have the amount of value as assessed by the King County Assessor.
Okay, so I'm not in the same place you are. Where?
Page 3.6 in section 3.2.1.
Okay. Use the, if you would, the page numbers that are in the
The A350?
No. Just so that we have a clear record, I think you might be looking at the draft, or are you looking at the draft or the final?
A17, this is the final.
Okay, so go more slowly. Okay. Maybe the problem is we're not keeping up with you.
And can you just confirm the tab number?
Tab number is
A350-66.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. So if I understand the question, where else is there quantitative analysis? Section
that informs me as a business owner of the impact on my business. And if this is background quantification, mm-hmm. fine. So let's go through. Give us a description of what's on page 3-5.
3-5 is the calculation of land by type.
Okay.
3-6 is the assessment of valuation by type. 3-7 is a list of most valuable, 10 most valuable parcels in 2015. Section 3.3 shows the rental price for different classes of commercial real estate, industrial, multifamily, office, and retail, and 3.9 has a description of the rates. 3.4 has a description of the employment conditions within the area.
If you could just
for 3.10.
When you're stick to consistently referring. If we're going to do page numbers, don't go to sections.
3.10 has a description of the employment conditions and trends through time, as well as their relative. And then on 3.11. As a description of their composition through time. We document the commercial retail aspects of different industries on page 312 by estimating, looking at what's happening in taxable retail sales. And then we have some description on page 314 and 315 on the parking conditions.
Okay. Anything else?
That in terms of by quantitative, if the definition is where did we measure something and ascribe a value to it, that is the limitation of it.
Okay, and so what in the pages that you just went through, which I think went approximately from page 3-5 mm-hmm. to 3-15, what does that tell me about, as an owner of an industrial business on Shilshul, of the potential impacts of the project on my business?
We didn't do an analysis of impacts to individual businesses and their profitability.
Okay.
We described what happens broadly and how those factors may impact specific different types of land uses and businesses given the composition within the study area.
Okay, so then let's go back to operational impacts and the section on industrial and warehouse properties, which begins at the bottom of page 4-6, correct?
Yes.
And we've already discussed the hedonic analysis. Is there any other quantification of information in that discussion?
I believe we included what we think is the appropriate amount of quantification given what we know.
Mr. Shook, please answer my question. Mr. Shook, I didn't ask you whether you included the appropriate amount. I asked you whether you included any.
I was going to finish my answer.
No, you answer my question, please. Did you include any quantification? Yes or no?
And there's no other quantification.
There's no quantification.
Of impacts to specific businesses and their profitability, no.
So let's see what you did say. Once we get past the hedonic analysis, which we've already discussed, what else do you say? You say how multi-use trails positively affect property value. You say it's going to positively affect property value because of improved access for employees. And is that based on any understanding of how many of the employees on Shilshul commute by foot or bicycle?
This is impacts common to all alternatives, not Shilshul.
It's industrial and warehouse properties.
Yeah, but you said Shilshul.
Oh, excuse me. That's an appropriate qualification. Is it based on any information about how many, what percentage, what number of the employees of industrial and warehouse properties in this Ballard study area get to work by foot or by bicycle?
That statement is drawn from the broader literature around how multi-use trails impact businesses as documented in our reports. We had no information on the number of employees and their modes of travel. If that information were available at the time of analysis, we would have considered it.
Okay. And then why don't you just read for us the entire summary in your report of how multi-use trails negatively affect property value.
And this is at page
4.4-7, the last paragraph above institutional buildings.
The results of the impact of proximity of industrial properties to multi-use trails in King County are shown in table C4, appendix 6.
No, we're not in the same place.
Where are we?
We're again on page 4-7.
Oh, on the negatively part? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. The operation of the BGT missing link may impede some industrial users located adjacent to the trail due to the congestion of industrial traffic with pedestrian and bicycle use. Industrial users may be required to adjust delivery patterns where the trail crosses loading docks or driveways. In addition, the operation of heavy machinery and trucks in an environment with more pedestrian and bicycle travelers may increase the risk of accident. Increases in risk of automotive accidents could result in higher insurance costs or require some labor expenditures to employ traffic flaggers to avoid collisions. Industrial businesses may adapt somewhat by adjusting delivery schedules to times of day with relatively few pedestrians and bicyclists using the BGT. This may result in more schedule hours of operation and higher labor costs of these users. These additional operating challenges are likely to increase cost of production for these users, and these costs are unlikely to be passed on to consumers due to competition from producers elsewhere in the region.
Okay. Is there anything else that I, as the hypothetical owner of an industrial business, along the preferred alternative, that I'm going to learn from reading your report, other than that there are things may impede industrial uses may increase risk of accident, could result in higher insurance costs, and so forth?
Given the amount of information in our approach, that was the level of precision we could get to.
So why does it take an economist to write that paragraph? Isn't that something that anyone who owns a business along there already knows?
I don't know what everybody else knows.
Okay. So what do you think you added as an economist in terms of value here for the decision makers about the impacts on industrial businesses?
Yeah, so I'll restate what I said previously. Our engagement here was really to describe from an economic perspective how a facility like this may impose both benefits and costs, right? That is a value add and not something that I've seen discussed in any previous documents that I've reviewed. And that is an important way to think about this issue. We have further then defined how different things, both meet on the positive side and the negative side, by different class of businesses. We are not able, given our analysis, what we did, and what we believe CEQA requires, to precisely estimate any costs, because we don't know both what the benefits are, we don't know what their options may be when with a trail. Maybe they are lower cost substitutes, maybe they are higher cost substitutes. So we can't arrive at a precise estimate of what it would cost. And then we have a discussion around sort of what happens cumulatively. There's lots happening within the broader area that needs to be considered, is also as part of an impact to industrial users.
And is that your answer to my question about what this paragraph adds in terms of understanding?
You asked me whether or not we needed an economist to say that, what it adds to the decision-making process.
Yes, and is that your answer to that question?
Yes.
Okay. There was more quantified information in the draft report, wasn't there?
By quantified, you mean we simply did some math?
You define it any way you want. There are dollar values assigned to impacts in the draft report, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And the draft report, using those dollar values, concludes that the impacts of this proposal will be significant, doesn't it?
I don't believe that's what that says.
Would you turn to Exhibit A15? Which is in the other volume, it's behind tab A350.64.
So it is tab A350.64?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to change and go to your deposition. Mr. Shook, that's a copy of your deposition. Could you open it, please? And you recall your deposition that I took on October 24th?
I do.
Okay. I'd like you to turn, please, to page 57. And I direct your attention to lines 20 through 25. Why don't I read my question and you can give the answer.
Sure.
My question, so the draft EIS identifies significant negative economic impacts and the final EIS does not, correct? Answer?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is your testimony different today then?
No.
And after the draft EIS concluded there were significant negative economic impacts, you didn't do any additional analysis, correct?
No, we did not.
Okay. And you didn't gather any additional information?
We did not.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Mr. Shook, I just have, well, first I want to ask where in the draft EIS, and I know appellants did this earlier, but I may need your help on this as well, is where in the draft EIS that finding of significance was?
It's not in...
Or the draft report, sorry.
Draft report, yes. It, the word significant is used a number of times, but the specific passage I had in mind when I asked that question...
I know we did this some in your direct, but I
Can I help this morning?
That's all I'm asking, so anybody can answer it.
This is A15, mm-hmm. which is behind tab 350.64 in volume 9. And I'll let Mr. Schneider give you the page number.
It's on page 415 in the second paragraph.
415. Second paragraph? And which line?
It begins about the middle of the paragraph, the conclusion, based upon these results.
Right, got it.
It's, yeah, lines 10 through 13.
And so my question to you, Mr. Shook, is I understand from your testimony that this did not carry through to your final report.
Correct.
Why is that?
It had to do with the amount of precision. So when the city approached us, right, they wanted a good faith effort, and I knew, and everybody knew, that this had been a very controversial project, so we should spend some time trying to understand this the best that we could. And so they gave us some freedom to kind of say, well, how would you solve this? How would you discuss this? What could you find? And so you think about our report as a series of layers, right? What do we know generally about it from the literature? What do we know generally from an experiment? What do we know about the factors, right? And then that section was really about, can we apply that to what we know about something about the conditions? And it was, once we submitted our draft, we received feedback that how can you be so precise with those conclusions? Because we had a whole section that said, you know, we think the trail made relatively on a scale of 1 to 5, and yes, you know, see, yes, well, what's the difference between a 5 and a 3? And we're like, you know, I don't know, you know, and is 5 even significant, you know, or is it reach, what's the absolute threshold that you're establishing at? And we're like, you know, and we also consider that, you know, this is likely to be appealed and that we should be very precise given the analysis that we did and the analysis that we couldn't do to sort of really measure and feel comfortable about how we were disclosing those impacts. And so for us, you know, we're economists, we try to think in probabilities, right? You know, and so is a significant impact a 10% probability in our mind, a 20, 50, 70? Do we even have any information to get to those kinds of assessments? And so after reflecting on the feedback we had, you know, we were like, well, we would, you know, to the extent that we could try to talk about sort of specific things, it'd be great. But we also need to make sure that we were trying to, as accurately as we can, given the analysis that we were able to do, talk about disclosing those impacts. And so through that process, we thought that section was not really an appropriate way, both for the transportation piece and the delay, as well as the qualitative section that's in the draft that says, okay, here's some relative ranking. And so without that kind of information, because we didn't feel like it was reliable, we decided to not include that statement as a supportable statement for us.
So you had a qualitative analysis up to that point that you came to that conclusion, and then re-examined that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I want to make sure I understand it, and then you re-examined that because you felt that the level of qualitative analysis was not what you had hoped or expected.
Exactly. I mean, I think we decided we want more quantitative information, like what the businesses were doing, how profitable they were, what the exact cost between the baseline versus the alternatives would actually impose on them, to get to some say like, yeah, you know what, you know, this is going to impose cost of X, which seems to eat into their profit margin, and maybe that would be for that specific business. But we didn't have that level of information to be talking about specific businesses in that regard and make those determinations.
What was the level of information you felt that you had when you made this statement?
At that time, we were guided by what we learned in the hedonics analysis, our own sort of economic theory.
So this was, make sure, if I can go...
There was no other analysis done. It was just
there was
the same
hedonics
analysis,
which is the property value. So the
property
value would go down?
What's that?
So you had results that showed property value going down?
No.
Okay.
The results didn't show that, but it was not significant, so we can't say it matters.
So what led you to this is what I'm trying to figure out.
It led just the same abstraction that we have in discussion here around, okay, well, you know, if it imposes delay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
want
to experience that delay, right? And
right,
I have a lot of driveways, so maybe I'm more delay. So like, mm-hmm. Okay, relatively, if you could think of a one-to-one relationship, then maybe that's the way to think about it. But then we're thinking, well, maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, we don't know that for any given business to say, yeah, that linear relationship or those relationships even existed. And so that's why we backed off pushing on that type of analysis.
So would you say then, so it wasn't the hedonics, it was delay that was the delay data that you had, or was it other data as well?
No, I think it was mostly about whether or not making inferences from what we learned in hedonics and how we think about how the impacts may happen, whether or not applying that on a business-specific level without other information was appropriate, and making determinations on relative.
Right, I understand how you changed. I'm just still trying to make sure I understand how you got to this point. What you were relying on for that, and you said it really wasn't the property value. That wasn't going down. It wasn't the hedonics analysis. Mm-hmm. It was delay.
Yeah,
that was
delay is primarily the primary one. Cause that's
was there the anything else other than delay that got you to that?
Trying to think here. And also potentially increased risk from accidents.
Safety.
Safety.
Mm-hmm. And so it was your. So you had enough data with delay and safety to say, we think it's going to be significant. You looked at that and said, maybe not enough. Maybe we need more detail on that to make that affirmative statement.
We have information, enough information there. What we don't have is information on the specific business about how they experience that delay and risk.
You didn't have enough information to compare existing conditions with what was going to be implemented.
Exactly. What happens now with those businesses and how they may respond. We don't have that information to say, well, is there no impact because we can change our operations, or is like there's a significant operational impact, and then we need to, you know, as you said, hire flaggers or, you know, change our schedule. You know, we don't have that information to make those determinations.
But you had enough information to know that there would be delays, there would be safety issues. You just couldn't compare it to existing conditions.
Correct. Okay.
Can you point me to where in the EIS, I think you're, let me check your testimony and make sure it was correct. I understood that you said that there was a possibility of the EIS disclosed the possibility of a single business closing. Is that correct?
In the final?
That's what I have. The analysis is clearly not saying that if any single business will close. We don't have enough data. Based on your testimony, I understand we don't have enough data for that. But I understood you to say that the possibility of that harm was disclosed in the EIS.
The possibility of that harm exists. The impact on closures is unknown.
Right, and so where was that harm disclosed? That's my question.
It's disclosed in the discussion on impacts common to all alternatives, and is disclosed on the delay figures that are referenced.
Can you point me to it?
Yeah, sure.
Page.
Yeah. So
this is in the final EIS, right?
Yes, final EIS.
Is it R1?
Yeah. So
can I just clarify the record? Final EIS or final report?
Final report.
Oh, okay. So it's not in the final EIS.
I don't believe the economic considerations report is in the final EIS. I could be wrong.
No, but I understood your response to be the EIS when you were in conversation with Mr. Schneider. So I just want to make sure I either misheard it or whatever.
Of the four discipline reports, only three of them are updated for the final EIS.
Can we
have
the witness
this way? Yeah, I mean, all I know is I have in my notes that it was disclosed in the EIS. So I if you
in the draft EIS, the economic considerations report was included as part of the draft EIS.
So you didn't say that it's part of the in the EIS.
Oh,
the possibility of that harm is disclosed. That's not in the EIS.
In the entire EIS, not our report. Sorry, I'm trying to.
I don't know about your report.
I don't know. I don't know about the rest of the report. The rest
I'm just
of the
talking.
EIS.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just talking about the possibility of that harm being disclosed in the EIS. Do you have any knowledge or information about that?
I don't. I'm not familiar with the entire.
So. All right. How about your report then? We'll go to that.
Yeah. So we talk about that harm beginning on Chapter 4 with the potential impacts or impacts common to all build alternatives.
And that's page.
That starts on page 4-1.
4-1. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then we have subsequent discussion on all the action alternatives.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Shipp.
Ms. Ferguson. You asked most of my questions, but I just want to make sure. You answered one question from the examiner, and you used. When you use the term significant related to property values, were you using that term as a SEPA term or something else?
We were using it a little interchangeably in the sense that we were talking both about statistically significance and just in a non-SEPA sense just saying synonymous with impact.
And was that a pervasive?
That was a pervasive issue in our draft that we had to subsequently clean up in our final.
So the difference between SEPA significance and statistical significance was the difference.
And also just what we were describing is just an impact.
Okay, perfect. And we've been talking about various drafts of your report that led to a final. Is that type of iterative process typical or common in this type of work, or is it unusual?
It's typical and common from my experience. Particularly when we're in areas where there's no standard approach for very unique questions.
No further questions.
Mr. Cohen?
Go ahead, Your Honor.
Okay. And this was a direct witness. Anything further from you, Mr. Shiner? Thank you, Mr. Schick.
Thank you, Mr. Governor.
And what do we have for witnesses remaining? I think we've got 3 or 4, as I recall.
Correct. But for the city, we have Mr. Mazzola. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chang is a witness who is ill today, so mm-hmm. we were hoping to call him on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And that will be the remainder of all the city witnesses.
Oh, okay.
We have Mr. Trask. He can appear today if everybody wants him to.
So we have Mazzola and Trask, possibly, today?
Uh-huh.
All right. Estimated time for Mr. Mazzola. Mazzola.
Mazzola. I would expect about a half hour or 40 minutes. And I'm trying to,
that's,
might be shorter, but I'm trying to pad it a little bit.
That's,
I tend
yes,
to run long.
Right. And that's just for you?
That's just for me.
Yeah. And Trask?
An hour or less, I believe.
Okay.
The appellants also listed him as a witness.
Right. All right. Given that, we will take lunch now. We'll come back at 1:15 and start with Mazzola and then go to Trask and reserve Chang for Tuesday. Anything else we need to address before we break? I think we have all the exhibits admitted. Thank you.
Thank you.